All stations, all stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta. Well, good evening, folks. You're listening to American Vindicta. Hi, I'm your host, Doug Thornton. This is episode 67. Today's date is February 23rd, 2022. We are going to talk about Red Dawn. Now, Red Dawn was a very famous ideologically based movie. And then the sequel was terrible. But there are applications that are there within the novel fantasy of Red Dawn that can actually be applicable to us now. And why do I say that? Well, I say that because obviously what is happening in Russia and Ukraine and the meddling of the West can potentially find us in a very... How would we say this? A very bad place in America. Many people do not know what hell looks like. Many people have not walked through it. But war is hell. I've been there before. Some of you listening have been there before. And not many of us here in these United States are ready for the hell that can be brought to us. The intensity of a war in the United States. Even the imagination of some people to think that America could never be invaded, that we could never be defeated. We'll see. We'll test that theory. Hopefully it's a theoretical and not a practical application. We do have to worry about the practical, though. You do have to worry for the eventuality of war in America. Eventually, someone will do it. Eventually, a confederate of states like Russia and China or the BRICS Nations Alliance will bring trouble to our doorstep. Will it be because we rightly deserved it? Or will it be because of happenstance that we own minerals and resources that they need, and that we are the superpower that is in the way? We'll see about that. We know that we have politicians that are bought off left and right from the Russian oligarchs and the Chinese communists. You know, I mean, it's a joke within the government at this rate to see how many politicians and heads of state are bought off, are paid for, have side bank accounts that lead to Russia or that lead to China, and then they want to complain and demonize and grandstand and beat their chest with a patriotic tone that they're out there defending America and defending our freedom from the communist China and the aggressive Russians. Lies wrapped in mistruths, covered in more lies and mysteries. That's what these people are. You know, you cannot tell me, was someone like Nancy Pelosi worth $300 million based off of her other incomes, not to mention her $170,000 a year income from the government, that she is one of the people, or that she is a defender of the people? She is not. She has been elevated to a political princess. Yeah, even her old raggedy self. That's what they treat her as. We'll see how long that lasts whenever war comes to America. But before we get on Red Dawn, before we go in that direction, and this is probably going to take a couple episodes just to be able to lay out everything. And I'm going to treat Red Dawn as a real tactical situation with military application. and something that we as the patriots of America should be able to use within our own realms of military application, because we the people are also we the militia, and a militia is a military entity. So there is tactical application there that can be noted and discussed. I'm not saying acted upon. Well, you will know when those things need to happen, but they can be discussed. Before we go that route, we need to give you an update on Ukraine. Currently, and this is coming from the Epoch Times, Ukraine imposes state of emergency, calls on its citizens to leave Russia, and conscripts reservists. Ukraine has shifted to a war footing, imposing a nationwide state of emergency, urging all of its citizens to leave Russia immediately, and introducing conscription of reservists as the crisis deepens. Ukraine's National Security and Defense Council backed imposing a state of emergency on the morning of February 23rd on all the country's territory, apart from the conflict-stricken Donetsk and Luhansk regions, where it has been in place for 8 years as Ukrainian forces have battled pro-Russian separatists. Lawmakers approved a declaration later in the day that imposed a state of emergency. Oleksiy Danilov, the country's top security chief, said at a briefing earlier in the day that the measures introduced by declaration would include beefing up security at key locations with stricter curbs in high-risk areas, such as eastern Ukraine, which would be along the perimeter of Russia, along the country's border with Belarus and Russia, and in Russian-occupied Crimea. This can include restrictions on movement of transportation, additional inspections of transportation. This can include inspections of individuals' documents, Danilov said, with the state of emergency initially set to last 30 days with a possible extension. I guarantee you it'll be extended. I guarantee you. Just like how the state of emergency, the Emergencies Act that is being declared right now, in Canada will be extended probably up to a year. Make a bet. Bet you $10. It'll be there for a year. Before we go on, I want to share with you that Russia is soon to be in a state of emergency by going into war with Ukraine and the West. Ukraine is in a state of emergency that will also pull in Belarus into a state of emergency. Probably also Kazakhstan. Canada is in a state of emergency. America is in a state of emergency. A lot of big things going on out there right now. A lot of big things going on. Anyways, moving on. Separately, Ukraine's parliament voted on February 23rd to approve a draft law that allows Ukrainians to carry firearms and act in self-defense. Do you think, honestly, that their parliament telling their citizens that they can now walk around with firearms legally without being accosted by the police is just a show and tell? Or is it the sounding of how they plan to arm every man and woman in Ukraine to fight against Russia? That's what that sounds like to me. Anyways, the adoption of this law is fully in the interests of the state and society. The authors of the draft law said in note that stating that the measure was needed because of existing threats and dangers for the citizens of Ukraine. Yeah, it's called the Russian military. Ukraine has also called on all of its estimated 3 million citizens living in Russia to leave immediately. Don't forget, not too long ago, within a week, the U.S. was telling everyone from the State Department, was telling everyone, leave immediately. And when war starts, all Americans that are left in Ukraine, you will not be evacuated. Let us not forget that. The first wave of reservists also have been called up, with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky announcing conscription of reservists aged 18 to 60 years old on February 22nd, although he ruled out a general military mobilization. Tensions have escalated in the region after Russian President Vladimir Putin declared Donetsk and Luhansk independent states and said Russia was moving its troops there ostensibly as peacekeepers. Yeah, we'll see how long the peace lasts. Whenever we see any type of peacekeeping missions, especially with American interest versus Soviet Russian interest, something will happen. Mark my words, something will happen. Western leaders have dismissed the claim that Russian forces are in Ukraine to help maintain peace, accusing Putin of orchestrating a territorial grab. They say he's likely to use a false flag operation as a pretext for a deeper incursion into Ukraine, laying siege to Kiev, toppling the government, and imposing a Moscow-friendly regime. Well, isn't that nice? Hey, isn't that what we do in America consistently? Yeah, that's what I thought. Russia has denied plans for an invasion, instead framing its actions as moves to protect ethnic Russians living in Ukraine. Don't forget, Adolf Hitler said the very same thing about people in Austria and Poland. With Putin accusing Ukrainian forces and their proxies of genocide in eastern Ukraine, an explosive claim dismissed by Western officials and analysts as propaganda meant to justify an invasion. Pro-Russian separatists have controlled parts of Donetsk and Luhansk districts, collectively known as the Donbas, since 2014. The UN has estimated that about 14,000 people have been killed in eastern Ukraine over the past 8 years, including at least 3,400 civilians. So, obviously, there is a war going on in Ukraine. That war happens to do a little bit with Russia and a lot with Ukraine. Now, we can evolve very quickly from this. We can really start to evolve and play with the idea. Now, like I said, this is going to be theoretical, so it's not practical. This is going to be my assumptions and best guess of how Red Dawn can be played out. Stick with me. We'll see if you agree or if you find this at least entertaining. I think there's some revelations out there that we need to talk about. We'll be right back.
The time for political correctness is in the rearview mirror. The fact is, the American dollar is on the verge of collapse. It's been abused mightily by those in power. Massive debt, massive inflation have left Americans with few options. Most think they have no choice but to ride it out with their money in the bank. And sadly, they're going to awaken one day and all that money is going to be gone. Do you have an option? The answer is yes. Precious metals. But knowing to go into precious metals is not the same thing as knowing who to go into precious metals with. We have an answer for you. It's called Renaissance Precious Metals. It's owned and operated by the famed Steve Quayle, radio talk show host, world famous, and an expert in precious metals. Been doing the work for 34 years. So whether you're interested in gold, silver, platinum, and palladium, whatever your interest is, wherever you want to land in your escape pod, this is it. Renaissance Precious Metals can be reached at 406-586-4842. Call Steve Quayle at 406-586-4842. You can also visit them online at sqmetals.com. Ladies and gentlemen, don't wait. The collapse is underway. The time to act is now.
Welcome back. This is American Vindicto. We're going to get into Red Dawn. Something that I suggest everyone do is not only do your own research, have a little fun with it. Try to imagine if your state that you live in were to be invaded by a hostile entity, let's just say Russia, China, Iran, you know the kind, what would be the most valuable assets that they would want in your state? And then do a little bit of digging, a little bit of research, and ask yourself how many agents of these hostile countries are already in my state. How many Russians, Chinese, Iranians, you name it, whoever it is that you view as a hostile force, how many of them are already deeply embedded within just your state? Then look up your county, and then look up your town. You may surprise yourself. We're going to do that now with my state, the great state of Texas. So when I talk about Red Dawn, when I roll this around in my head, I always come up with the power grid. And now you've probably heard me shout from the rooftops about the power grid. There are three power grids in America. You have the East Coast, you have the West Coast, which are both failing, horrific, they're terrible. And then you have the Texas power grid, which we always think, or at least we always thought, was very efficient, very well managed. And actually, it's not. It's as bad as the other two. The power grid is our Achilles heel. It's our glass jaw. You are not going to take over America effectively while the power is on. You can shut down the power in districts and regions. And as you move in your invasion force and you capture ground, I would then take my engineering companies and I would have them reinstitute any power grid and bring it all back up online, but under our direct control, leaving contingencies of military security around these power resources to include dams, water treatment facilities, waste sewage facilities, obviously nuclear power plants or any type of generation station, transmission station. I would want to keep that infrastructure in place because if I intend on taking over America, I don't want to have to spend billions of dollars to bring everything back up online, because when I do that, well, I start to lose a lot of money because obviously I intend on making money by invading America. So that's the way I think if I was a bad guy. And then I consider, how would I move troops into my state? How would it, like I said, let me simplify this. Make yourself the bad guy. Look at your state on a state map, then look at your county, look at your city, and do your own invasion. How would you do it? Game plan it, like a game of Risk. Game plan it with some of your friends. And then have some of your friends be the guerrilla fighting force, and you can just play around with that, man. I mean, you could have some fun with that. You know, how would you counteract moves? It's a thinking game, right? But within my mind, I look at this very seriously. And Texas, everybody wants a piece of it. We have a lot of military here. We have a lot of industry. The most oil industries in America are here. And so those refineries, we don't want them damaged. So we would fight to protect them. And whoever was invading would probably seriously fight to keep them and to gain them, right? So you have that. Then obviously the nuclear power plants, you don't want those going off randomly. So you'll have to secure those. You'll probably secure any type of large water source, ports of entry. So not just the southern ports of entry, but also the ports of entry that's in the Gulf Coast. What else would you do, though? Well, I mean, you obviously would want to keep the power grid. So you can hack the power grid. You can hack into the power grid. Or you can already have something installed into the power grid that when the day comes, you throw a lever, press a button, and the power grid is yours. So I have an article here to back this up. This is from the Daily Mail. Now, this article, let me see, when was this article wrote? August 11, 2021. Okay. So the article states, Texas bans secretive Chinese billionaire who spent $110 million quietly buying up land from setting up a 15,000-acre wind farm amid fears that the turbines could be fitted with spying equipment or used by Chinese government to cripple the energy grid. So here's a little bit of some bullet points on it. I can't pronounce this guy's name, so I'm not even going to try to. His first name is Soon. He's a former army captain in the Chinese PLA, the People's Liberation Army. He's a real estate tycoon, has since 2016 spent an estimated $110 million buying up land in Val Verde County in Texas. Beautiful county, by the way. Worth an estimated $2.1 billion, according to Forbes. Soon has bought 140,000 acres of Texan land near the U.S. and Mexico border by Laughlin Air Force Base. Soon has set aside 15,000 acres to build a wind farm which would feed it to the Texas power grid. His actions have raised eyebrows given his close ties to the Communist Party officials in Urumqi, which is the home to the persecuted Uyghur minority, the Uyghur Muslim minority. It has also triggered claims Soon could equip the turbines with spying equipment or even let China hold Texas power grid to ransom. Environmentalists were concerned about the impact of a wind farm on the Devil's River ecosystem, considered to be one of the last wild and pristine rivers in Texas. And it is a gorgeous area. I used to live out by that area. Now, on June 7th, Governor Greg Abbott signed into law the Lone Star Infrastructure Protection Act. And this bill is designed to stop business entities associated with hostile nations from accessing the Texas grid and other pieces of critical infrastructure. There's your homework. Does your state have the same type of bill? Do your digging. You may surprise yourself. But here's something that's not mentioned. This Chinese billionaire, this former Communist Chinese army captain, picked up 140,000 acres on the Texas-Mexican border. So what does that mean for us? Well, let's just say Red Dawn, right? How easy is it to move people? Well, I mean, it's not that hard when we're talking about crossing the Texas border. Border Patrol is extremely short-staffed. How hard would it be to amass people in Mexico, along with weapons, along with tanks, and whatever else they can get out there, and then to march that across the border? Depending on the crossing, depending on the season, not that hard. So then, let's just say a couple battalions worth of Russians and Chinese could easily be staging equipment in the various amounts of warehouses throughout Mexico, along with the help of the Mexican cartel in crossing, finding the best border crossing areas for people. during our own state of emergency, and, you know, there's a lot of ifs here, okay? This is my possibilities, my theoretical. If we're in a war with Russia and Ukraine, if our power grid goes down for only an estimated amount of days, didn't have to be forever, but let's just say for, you know, 3 or 4 days, oh, I could easily move a couple battalions in 3 or 4 days worth of people across that border. It may be a little risky. not everything may cross, but we damn sure can try. And then, how hard is it to hide a couple battalions worth, let's say, you know, 5,000 people worth, including the supporting vehicles that go with it, throughout 140,000 acres? Depends. It really depends on how hard you look. And then, to top it off, he has his own runway. Now, this Chinese billionaire built a runway, an airplane landing runway, on his property that can easily land any of the largest aircraft in the world. That can easily land, and I think it's an over 10,000 foot landing strip. So for any of you pilots out there, you know for a fact what you can do on a 10,000 foot landing strip, how many planes you can park out there, how many different size planes that you can taxi on that. So not only can you move troops across the border on foot or on track, but you can also then land your strategic teams, your strategic vital vehicles onto this man's property, and then just start marching into whatever direction you need to go. It can easily be built up within a matter of moments if you hit it logistically correct. And if this guy has been logistically planning things correctly, he could easily have a undisclosed military base already there, right next to, and I mean not a far cry from Laughlin Air Force Base. Of course, we have to consider the fact that if there is any of these types of landings, that more than likely our military is going to know about it. And more than likely, our military is going to contest that. Who knows what that could look like? But if you were to pair a series of attacks upon Laughlin Air Force Base, a series of small arms attacks across the base, according around the front entrance of the base, along the perimeter fences of the base, and also focusing on the runways of the landing strips of the Air Force Base, you could potentially ground enough planes and helicopters for a time to land a sufficient amount of troops, one would think, right? Depending on how well planned it is and how well executed it is possible with the right people, like the Spetsnaz, and the right equipment, like what the Spetsnaz carry. Oh, and by the way, I'm completely going with Russia and China would red dawn us. But who are the other people that would play in this game? Well, I would have to say that the players that are in the red dawn are the United States, of course, Canada, Mexico, the European Union, Russia, Venezuela, Iran, China, and the drug cartels. Throw in a little bit of Islamic extremist terrorists. Add to them the domestic extremist terrorists from the left, like Antifa or Black Lives Matter, or their other various groups that are out there, to include various criminal agencies that are out there. And then you sprinkle on a couple of compromised politicians. You have the right ingredients for a successful Red Dawn. However, I will argue that for Red Dawn to happen across the United States, to me, seems far-fetched. Not only do you have to contest with the military within these regions, you're going to have, they within my regions of Texas, there's at least 6 bases that I can think of that's going to be bringing a lot of firepower straight to them. So there has to be other coordinated attacks to get that convoy of equipment and men up and moving into whatever region they're going to. And most likely, I would say that they would be going to other military bases to attack those bases, or at least to attack other parts of infrastructures. So that's what's on the list for Texas. Anywhere else within Texas doesn't make sense to me. But it doesn't make sense to me also that 140,000 acres were bought through some subsidiary companies for this communist Chinese billionaire who has direct ties with the communist Chinese military, who has direct ties with our politicians. And then the man goes and builds a landing strip for the biggest planes that the world can ever make, then land multiple troop-carrying planes, even probably the Hercules-sized planes that can actually tilt and kneel forward and allow tanks to be supported out of them. It boggles the mind that we let that happen. You know, right now, it's funny that we have to talk about this because of everything happening with Russia and China and everything happening with Ukraine and then the United States and the fiasco that is Joe Biden and the absolute tyranny that's happening in Canada. But look at what's happening, though. Look at all these states of emergency across the world. You still have COVID-19 that's going around. Or should I say the draconian COVID mandates. With the decrease in our dollar, and soon to be us hurting to get oil, America is going to be on a war footing. If Russia won't give us oil through OPEC, if we're not able to lower the cost of gas prices, people in America are going to get pissed. Can you afford a sustained weekly fill up at the tank at $7 a gallon for unleaded? I couldn't, and I'm sure most of you couldn't. But what if, like I used to have to, what if you had to travel 50 miles one way just to get to work? That's a lot of gas, man. You know, and if I had to drive my old Tundra doing that every week, oh, Lord. That's probably, I don't know, at least $150, $200 a week. Most people can't afford that. See, the things that start revolutions, that start wars, is a collapse in currencies. It's a color of revolution. These are current things, by the way. The collapse in currencies, the colors of revolution. Then you have your ideological people. And within that, there are other speculations that you can throw in there. But just based roughly off of World War II, you know, we have a mineral grab, a land grab, where people are fighting for resources. That is going to be, I believe, the real cause for a Red Dawn in America. The amount of resources that are here is tantalizing. Ukraine ain't got nothing on America when it comes to resources. So, just imagine, we're gonna really dive into this. This is just the introduction. But let's talk about prepping real quick for the Red Dawn. obviously your beans, bullets, your band-aids, your advanced medical gear, good boots, good clothing that's not going to tear and rip on you, good weaponry, good optic, night vision if you have it. Oh my lord, night vision would be key then. Because the countries who would invade us would have night vision. And most of our guerrilla operations would be happening during the hours of night. Because even during the day, people are still going to go to work. People still got to pay bills. People are still going to go grocery shopping. We'll see how this plays out. I'm going to have to war game this a little bit. I think I'm going to invite Dave Hodges on and get his take on this, because me and him war game quite a bit. Red Dawn and Civil War is one of the big, big topics that we talk about all the time. And if you ever want to catch any of the shows that we do, you can go to thecommonsenseshow.com and you can see some of the pre-recorded shows that we've done. You can also go to thecommonsenseshow.tv.com and you can watch some of the videos that we've done together for the Doug and Dave Intel Report, something we do weekly. Now it's happening more than just once a week. And we jive pretty well, you know, based off his experiences and my experiences. I think we could probably come up with some pretty good solutions for Red Dawn. But I will say this, communication is going to be key as well. Satellite phones, not going to work for you, man. I'm sorry. It's just not going to work for you. If you turn on a satellite phone with the military, let me just say it to you like this. Satellite phones are how you get a Hellfire missile right down on top of you. And I'm going to leave it at that. Al-Qaeda, ISIS, and the Taliban have all felt that fury. And satellite phones are not their best friends. Shortwave radios would be the premier thing to get, ham radios as well. I would say that if you go the ham radio route, then go to the classes, learn how to operate your radio. Don't just, how many times will I say this? Don't just buy a cool piece of gear and not learn how to use it. Ham radio courses are all across the country. I think they are vital keys of communication. And when we have the federal government who will encroach upon ham radio operators, hammers, or states that will try and outlaw ham radios, once again, it's got to make your eyebrows raise a little bit. You see, when we talk about guerrilla warfare, small unit tactics, various different degrees of communication, obviously you would want some sort of cipher for that communication, but if you can communicate through the internet, you'll probably do it. If you can use your phone, you'll probably do it. If you can use a satellite phone, you'll probably do it. All three of those ways, you will be spied upon, and they will find you. Maybe not at first, but eventually, they will find you. At least with the shortwave radios, we can broadcast through a form of cipher codes. We can communicate with each other, but most importantly, we can listen to what's happening. Me and Bob Griswold talk about this a lot with communications. Radios are something that should be used for listening, not openly talking on. Guys like me, doing small unit tactics, at that point in time, it's probably going to be a lot of hand and arm signals, some old school military stuff, probably a lot of whispering or some yelling here and there, and staying off the radio as best as possible. If I do have a radio, I would want to encrypt it, but Man, you start going through a lot of different specifications on encrypting radios, and I'm not going to get into that. It's going to be interesting. Let me ask you a question. Red Dawn happens. Let's say the EMP happens first, then it's the Red Dawn invasion. Will the military work in conjunction with militias? Will the militias work in support of the law enforcement? Will one try to supersede the other? Obviously, the military. Will there be cooperation? Are we talking about the same federal government who viewed militias as white supremacist terrorists, anti-American enemies of the state? Would they allow that help? Or would the federal government, 86 itself, and sit out the conflict? Would the federal government then go into hiding in the NORAD and some of the other bunkers and loosely use the military to try and accomplish a victory? Here's the thing that I will tell you, though. They're not coming to save you and me. The military will be trying to find military objectives to fight, and you and me will be fighting everyone else, probably each other. Unknowingly, of course. You're going to be scrambling for goods and supplies. You're going to be doing reconnoitering or scouting around your own area. You'll probably band together with some of your neighbors. You'll talk for the first couple days. Oh my God, look what's happening. We need to prepare. We need to do a civilian watch, a night watch, a day watch, gate guards. You know, and I suggest all that too. And very quickly, you're going to start getting into, hey, those people up the road, those, you know, the ones that are always causing trouble, we need to keep our eyes on them. See just how fast people will start pointing their guns at each other, even though we have enemies behind the gates here. Don't forget that also during Red Dawn is a perfect time for assassinations, political assassinations. Not just the politicians, though. YouTube stars, radio hosts, people who are running for various candidates for, you know, the political structure of America. Police chiefs, mayors, head doctors, business moguls, anyone that is a target of opportunity for the communists that won't bow the knee, well, if they have their chance, you'll bow the knee, but it'll be a gun behind your head. We don't talk about this enough in America. I think it's because we are so complacent and we feel so safe within our own borders. But yet, just south of our border is an absolute civil war that's been happening since the 80s. In Mexico. And the drug cartels are almost on par with a basic military infantry. I mean, I don't think they have Apache attack helicopters or fast wings or submarines. Well, they do have submarines. Or submarines that can launch torpedoes. But when it comes to assassinations, smuggling, espionage, spying, kidnapping. Oh yeah, they got it going on. They can quickly overwhelm a small law enforcement contingency because they have superior firepower that American law enforcement is not allowed to have. We're not allowed to have 40 Mike grenade launchers on our M4s. We're not allowed to have rocket launchers. We're not allowed to walk around with a 50 caliber sniper rifle to employ on the civilian populace. We don't have belt-fed machine guns. We don't carry fragmentation grenades. The weapon system that law enforcement carries, which would be the same law enforcement who would be fighting the enemies during Red Dawn. So the Russians and the Chinese and the Iranians and the cartels. They have a sidearm, which is typically a 9mm or 40 caliber or 45 ACP. None of which will stop level 4 body armor. None of which will penetrate level 4 body armor. May not even penetrate some of the level 3 body armor. And then some might have ballistic helmets. Some might have long rifles. Some might have shotguns. Your basic average American is more well-armed than the average cop on the street. What we have that works for us is typically we work in numbers, rove in packs, and through our tactics and the ability of using the emergency systems that we have that are in place, law enforcement can be sufficient. However, look at what happens when there's a sustained firefight and law enforcement is present. Like one man in Dallas who opened fire into a crowd attacking law enforcement. It took quite a while to get that guy, and eventually we had to send R2-D2 with a little package bomb up into a parking garage to, you know, neutralize the threat. Not everybody's trained equally. Even those who are trained equally, not everyone is willing to employ themselves in combat as some others are. Some people have real life experience in combat. Some know when to move, and others don't. So typically, you know, they either freeze up or they move and their tactics are not used well because they're not taught to be infantry. They're taught to be cops. The cartels are taught to be infantry. They're not taught to be security guards. They know how to move in a small unit style. They know how to assassinate. They have rocket-propelled grenade launchers. They have underslung grenade launchers attached to their rifles, AK-47s, M-16s that are automatic, armor-piercing bullets, night vision, thermal vision, ballistic helmets, ballistic vests. They have up-armored vehicles that the average police officer is not going to be able, more than likely, to penetrate the armor. So just right there within the beginnings, just on the Texas border, I can tell you how many different ways it can go wrong. But I can tell you this much. China and Russia can land all the troops they want. You can bring as many cartel members across that border as you want. But at least for my state, you're going to have one hell of a fist fight. Yes, Texans do not bow down. We do not run from fights. And I think most of America would be clicking their heels and happy to see someone try and to take this country from the inside. You know how many Bubbas would come out of the woodwork with their 30-06 and their daddy's 30-30? I mean, we're talking about heavy caliber weapons that are going to pierce body armor that will be accurately shot from 100 meters or more. From people who are used to taking shots with also optics that can take those shots from 100 meters or more. That can level out the playing field from a guerrilla force with a mixed variety of people compared to a professional army like China or Russia or the mercenary army like the cartels. Once again, the real, I guess you could say, game changers are the heavy belt-fed automatic weapons and grenade launchers and also tanks. But, you know, you're going to have to fight the U.S. military at the same time for that one. So it's going to be interesting as we keep going this week and we keep talking about Red Dawn. And I think I'm going to go over different states that I would see to be most valuable. I might do a little bit of investigating on my own. I will say that if you're listening to the show, for one, thank you for listening. And if you feel like emailing me what your take on Red Dawn is, we'll have a little discourse on this. If you do your own research and you pull up any communist Chinese or Russian backed politicians or big companies, or the Russians or Chinese that own some sort of big tech something in your vicinity or within your state, send it to me. I'll read it. And if it's good enough, I'll compile it all together. Because this is how we defeat these enemies. We expose them. We expose them and then we prepare ourselves for it. Obviously, the politicians are preparing us for something. It's not for Red Dawn. Not in the helping way. All these big politicians, these congressmen and senators, worth millions and millions and millions of dollars, they all have their hand in the cookie jar. There might be 10 that are worth their salt. But I don't think I can name 4. We have a mightily abused system. Corrupt politicians, corrupt military now. Ugh. Who do you think the military would side with if Red Dawn does occur? Would the military side with the federal government, or would the military detach itself from the federal government? If the federal government says, hey, we're aligning ourselves with Russia, or with China, excuse me, and China starts to invade, do you think high-ranking sources within the Pentagon would still obey orders? We know General Milley would. Wouldn't you, General Milley? Says the man who said that if Trump had a first strike on China, obviously a nuclear strike or some sort of a strategic military strike on China, that he would call his counterpart in their People's Liberation Army, the head of their defense, and give them a heads up. To me, that's treason. That's sedition right there. I think it would be one hell of a fight on our hands. But I still come back to this. You're not going to take over this country with the power on. It's just not going to happen. While people can still get food and gas and guns and bullets, imagine the rioting that would happen. Imagine it, you know, and we're not talking about rioting for, you know, racial injustice. We're talking about rioting for people to get anything that they can grab. Just think how many people would hit the gun stores. You don't think about that until it happens. Whenever the riots were happening here in Dallas, the BLM riots, the gun stores within our areas were hit, and I think within one night or two nights, 14 guns were stolen from these stores, and a couple of them were AR-15s and then AR-10s, obviously that shoot 308. I wonder where those went. We haven't seen them yet. There are many categorical problems with Red Dawn. It does make for quite a bit of entertainment. I want you to keep paying attention to Ukraine. It does matter. Pay attention to what's happening in Canada. Please pray for those people in Canada, man. Support them while you can, until Trudeau decides to come after you as well. What a unique individual. Canada, I'm praying for you. I really am. I hope to God you get your country back and you get rid of this guy. Ladies and gentlemen, that's all I have for you right now. I got to do a lot of digging and a lot of research now. Like a lot. I may have just bit off more than I can chew with this game of Red Dawn, but we're going to see how deep the rabbit hole can go. We're going to try and find as many connections to Russia and China as possible. And we're going to continue to observe what's happening in Russia and Ukraine. Once again, all this comes down to money and minerals and resources. Follow the money. You'll find the communists. My name is Doug Thornton. You've been listening to American Vindicta. Out. All stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. End of transmission.